have a short word for you. It's not like a very theological word, but I feel that's going to be a word that is going to encourage us at the end of the night, and I pray that we go home and strengthened. I remember back on the day around the 1998-1999, younger me, back in our high school time in the school, we have one time a year that they used to take us to the countryside, and they call it a school in the field, so it was more, it was more like a work camp. Free labor for kids, you know. You go there and work for a month picking oranges, potatoes, or whatever, and you didn't get paid for it. You just were like free labor, you know. However, that is something that we used to do back in the school once a year. That year, there was few camps around our where we were located at, and they were about 5 kilometers, 2 kilometers apart. And that week, I was chosen and 11 more of my school, because we picked a lot of bananas that week, to take us to another camp and have a fellowship meeting together. But we didn't have transportation, so we had to walk to the next camp, which is about 2 kilometers. It wasn't that far. 2 kilometers walking. But when we got there, one of my classmates, he was, you know, so hyped by the music and everything that was happening, and he fell. He broke his ankle. Now, remember, I'm talking about back in Cuba in the 1990s, right? There's no transport, and there's no telephones. There's no Wi-Fi. Picture that. So now we had to get back to our camp, and we had to somehow bring him back to our camp, expecting that sometime in the night, the vehicle that delivered the produce would stop by and then transport him into the closest hospital. But from that camp to our camp, I carry him on my shoulders. And at one point, I was getting dizzy, but I was like, you know, hoping I would make it. And I did. So when we get to the camp, they're asking, who is the one that needs to go to the hospital? I was about to raise my hands. Just take me. But he was transported to the hospital, and he arrived around midnight. Obviously, there were like bunk beds, and he used to sleep on the bottom. I was on the above. And I used to check on him all the night. I get out of my bed. I wake him up. I say, how are you feeling? Are you in pain? And he said, leave me alone. So the next day and the next morning at breakfast, I say, hey, so you have a good night of sleep? I say, no, you woke me up all night. See, I mean, what a grateful guy you are, man. So today I want to speak about gratitude. Can you say gratitude? Because sometimes we forget about what that means when it comes to the things that God has done in our life. I want to share with you about a famous story on the Bible. And since God, because we have the whole picture today, right? There's these little pieces of information that help us in our walk with God. Remember, they didn't have that. They have Jesus, but they sometimes cannot see the whole picture. But I pray and I hope that when I finish today, we'll be encouraged, as I say, by this story. And we find something fresh and something new in what I'm about to share with you. As I say, the topic of if I have a name for my sermon tonight, it will be gratitude. You got it. Are you with me, right? So, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 11 to 19. Let's go through the whole context, and then we're going to break it down. Are we ready? Amen. So don't leave me alone here, okay? I want to know that you are here with me, amen? Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lift up their voices and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his feet and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there no 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there no any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." There are a few things that I want to unpack here, but first I want to give you a little background of what was and mean to deal with leprosy in the Bible times and even in the old days. You know, based in the law of Moses, but before we go to the law of Moses, I want to let you know that this disease was a painful one, and it was a long one. There was 3 phases to the illness. First, your skin starts growing thicker. Then you start getting like bumps and pus and pain. And eventually, in the later stage, limbs, you start falling off of your body. So it's very painful, and it's a long-stage painful disease. But it's also something that not only attempts against your physical body, but also with your mind. You are seeing how you are dying, slowly dying. Amen. So these people, there were 10 of them in this kind of situation. If we go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 14, you can see when Moses was putting the laws and what to do in these kind of situations. In the verse 14, he said, "But when raw flesh appear on him, it shall be unclean." Numbers 5:2, he says, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever become defiled by a corpse." You know, people diagnosed with or suspected for leprosy were excluded from the community. You were not welcome alongside everybody else. So now, Leviticus 13:45-46, it says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' It shall be unclean all the days that he has the sore. It shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." The Bible don't tell us that was a specific command to take care of the lepers. We can see in the Bible how we are instructed to take care of the widows or the poor. But there was nothing in regards to this kind of people. And why? Because they were considered unclean. It was like a punishment in their culture. And they were condemned to die. It was a painful, slowly death. I had the opportunity to be in Israel, and they have this like purification bath. And you can see like a nice, decent size for like the normal people. You could probably walk like 4 or 5 at the same time. But there was one apart, very small, that was for purifications of the lepers. So even during the feasts and the special holidays, they had to stay apart from their community. Are you with me so far? I'm going somewhere with this. So returning to our initial passage, the sick people were following according to the law of Moses. But something happened here. The Bible tells us that they were 10 of them, and they see Jesus as he's passing through a village. The law didn't allow them to be that close to a village. They had to stay away. They had to live a life of loneliness. Sometimes when they find another ones like them, they get together and put together like a small community. And this is what is happening here. So they see Jesus now. They don't care about the law of Moses at that time, but there is something that is moving them towards Jesus. There is something that Jesus can do for them that nobody else could in the past. And they see something. They see hope. So they don't care about what is happening. They don't care how close they're getting. All what they know is like Jesus is passing by. And I want Jesus' attention. So they call Jesus, Master, save us. There's going to be a moment in our life that nothing else will matter. And the reason why you and I are here is because at one point we say, nothing matter. I have tried this and I tried that, but nothing worked. But you remember how I felt that day when you walk into the altar and you give your life to Jesus. That day should be imprinted in our minds, in our hearts, because was a day that our life changed forever. And there is something about to happen here. So going back to verse 12 and 13 of the chapter of Luke, that's crying out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was as they went. Say, as they went. As they went, they were healed. You know, there is something special here, because they didn't say, you know, I'm going to wait to be healed and then I'm going to follow the word. The word was spoken. They believed the word, and as they were acting upon the word that was given to them, something happened. You know what? There is something special here. Faith is meeting the trust. Faith is meeting the commitment and the believing in God. Faith tells us, I believe that I'm going to be healed. But the trust is telling me, I know that I am healed. I want to encourage us tonight, you know, put those things together. Yes, we have faith that God is going to do, but when you speak the word, you declare the word, you know, there is something powerful there. And these 10 lepers, they say, you know what? Jesus has told us to go to the priest. Why? Because the law states that when you were clean, you present in front of the priest so they can check you and make sure that you are being clean, and then you go back into the community. But now, if you show unclean, like they were in their way, there was a punishment waiting for you. But they didn't care that you start walking all the way down to show the priest, look at what just happened with me. But what happened? As they were being clean, only one realized, I've been healed. The priest can wait. Let me go and worship my God. Let me go and give thanks to God. Let me praise him for what he's done in my life. Only one return. And you know, in our life, we may have 9 different situations not to come to church. We may have 9 different situations just to like refuse to stand on our feet instead of going into defeat. But only one reason we need. And it's the reason that there is a God that sent his son and sacrificed on the cross of the Calvary. So our sins were wiped up clean. We have been saved. And I'm going to go on the little rabbit room now, because I want you to understand. You know, you guys remember what happened in Gethsemane with Peter, right? Man, Peter is always ready. Don't mess with my Lord. I'm a black belt in karate now. But you know, there was a moment of tension, and Peter used to like, hey, you don't want to mess with my Lord. He got his sword, whip. He cut this guy's ear. The problem, this guy worked for the government of Jerusalem. He worked for the priest, the highest priest in Jerusalem. So Jesus, even as he's getting arrested, he's like, 1 second. I had to heal this guy. And he healed the guy. But I want to tell you something that maybe you don't know. Or maybe, you know, I want to bring to light. If that person which worked for the high priest, the government of Jerusalem, we have showing up to the authorities with a ear less in his body, the punishment for Peter would have been death. But when Jesus healed, now there is no evidence that anything happened. There is no evidence. What are you talking about? I see your 2 ears right in here. You know, he did that for us. We were the payment for our sin, the payment for our unrighteousness, and everything else that we have done in our life was death. The Bible said that this is our payment for what we have done. But Jesus did the same for us. He took the papers, the files that say everything bad about us. I said, you know what? They have been forgiven. The debt has been paid. And the cross of the Calvary. So there's only one person that is coming back. Are you with me? Let's see what verse 17, 15, and 16 says. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was Samaritan. You know what? This is not a mistake. Luke is telling us here what is happening, but he had, and he was Samaritan. There's few times in the Bible, in the scripture, that we see like the word Samaritan came. And it's always God's trying to show something. Why? Because the Samaritans were looked by the Jews like a half-breed. They were looking at them like dogs. There was like a discord that came back so many years ago. They didn't believe that they were Jews. They didn't believe that the word that they worshiped was the right one. They were dogs to them. And you can see in the different stories of the Samaritan woman or the Good Samaritan, that every single time that it's a Samaritan in the picture, people kind of avoid them. They don't want to deal with them. Oh, I know that there's so many of you guys tonight here that you have been avoided. Even by our own family sometimes. By friends. By people around you. In some ways, in some moments in our life, we have been like Samaritans. But Jesus is choosing once again what nobody wants, what nobody wants to help, to bring you to the conclusion that he is the Lord of all. And when people don't see value in you, he's saying, I know you by your name. I know you by your name. And something's happening here. For 369 years, the ark, the temple was in Shiloh. So the Samaritans feel like very well that they have the temple in there and they're worshiping there. But something happened that I don't have the time to explain to you. Eventually, the temple is moved, eventually make its way into Jerusalem. That's why when Jesus is talking to the woman, she's telling him, but Lord, our parents, our father say that this is the place that we should worship. And they say that it's in Jerusalem. But Jesus is about to remove all their theology and say, you know, it's not going to be here. It's going to be there. But the time will come with those who worship the Father. We worship him in his spirit and in truth. And this is the leper coming to Jesus. And now he fell to his feet. And he don't care what the law say. He knows that he wants to worship that man in his spirit and in truth. Because it's a revelation that, no, this guy come from God. Only God can heal me. And only God can heal you. Only God can give you the strength that you need. Sometimes we try to help ourselves. Sometimes we try to help others. But we cannot raise up somebody as we are falling. We don't have the strength to do so. And what we see is like when we do something wrong and decide, you know what? I feel like I failed to God. And then you start distancing from God. You know, because that's our human nature. In the book of Genesis, you can see as soon Eve and Adam mess up, The first thing that they did was hiding. And we do that. But what you have to understand, what I want you to see, is like every step that you're giving away from him, he's not staying there. He's walking right behind you. So when you're ready to come back to him, he's right there. He never left you. He's always being there for you. Are you with me tonight? So this person was a Samaritan. You know, Jesus, he didn't let the ingratitude of the other nine, or he didn't let the ingratitude of the other nine stop him from making a miracle on them. That good is our Father. Sometimes we want to trick God, but God knows everything, right? And we make it, we try to make a deal. God, if you do this for me, I will go to church for the whole month. God, if you give me that, I will do something amazing. And you know, God do it not because you are asking him to do it, but because it's his will in your life to do so. But very soon, we forget about our promises to God. And these people came crying out, Jeshua, son of David, Jeshua ben David, have mercy on us, save us. And Jesus didn't even have to touch him. He spoke the word, and they were healed. And then they say, you know what? Hey, let's go on our way. We have somewhere to be. Remember to be grateful. We have to remember to be grateful. God, keep us from being so busy and so occupying our own little victories that come from you, that in the process we forget to give you thanks for the things that you have done in our life. Lord, let us always put our eyes on you. In Luke 17, verse 17 and 19, Jesus answered and said, where no 10 cleans, but where are the 9? Were there no any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. He said, made you well. There's something that I wanted to bring to your attention, because when I saw this, I was jumping. And let me tell you something. The enemy didn't want me to to be here tonight. But God is good. God is good. So when he said, listen to this, your faith has made you well. In the Greek, the root word for this is called sozo. That means to be safe, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger and destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing, to save in the technically biblical sense, to deliver us from the penalties of death, and so going on. My point is, like, as we seeing, there were 9 people that were healed. But this guy was healed and he was saved. Woo! I don't want to go to help heal. I prefer walk like this and go with Jesus. This guy got both. You know what? Because he came to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He didn't forget who did that for him. Who shined the miracle, who did the miracle that he was expecting in his life for him. Don't forget. Just remember him. There was a time in the life of Jesus that the words were too hard for the people to hear. Many that day, the Bible say, abandoned him. So he turned to his disciples and he said, are you leaving me too? I only can't imagine what the Lord was feeling at that moment. I kind of see it coming like with happiness and joy. Say, are you leaving me too? He cared for them. And he asked them, are you leaving me as well? And Peter, you know Peter, where are we going to go, Lord? If only you have word of living word. You know, and it was a powerful moment in our life. I want to let you know, like, you know, sometimes we have to deliver that. Even when we don't feel like, we have to say, you know, who are going to go? And sometimes, you know, we feel like, Lord, I'm so under the pressure of the world that it's so hard for me to give you praise. But remember the words of Jeremiah. He say, if I speak of God and I say there's no longer God, your words are like a fire that come out of my bones. I cannot contain it. It's like a fire on my bones. I cannot keep it inside. I want to do an illustration this evening. It's not my idea, but I think that it's very powerful to convey what I'm trying to tell you. Pastor Brian, can you come and help me out here? Thank you, my brother. Let's give a clap for Pastor Brian here. Okay, so Pastor Brian, this is what I have here. Okay. This is a $100 bill. Okay, don't get excited. That's for my mom. I have to give her back to her. So this is just for illustration. Okay, Pastor. But let's say, Pastor Brian, I have this $100 bill. I choose a $100 bill because it's the highest currency that we deal with in our daily life. Amen? So if I ask Pastor Brian, do you want this free $100 bill, what you say?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. Who would say no, right? Okay, so I'm going to fold it a few times. Pastor Brian, you want this $100 bill?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Brian, you still want this $100 bills? You see what I mean? Thank you, Pastor Brian. Yes. My point is, like, this $100 bills is our life. And sometimes we may look this pretty, or sometimes we're going to be crumbled by the way of the world. But for God, no matter if you look like this or if you look like a brand new bill, you are the same value to him. You were the same to him because he don't see what he has placed on you. He only see what you have been created to be. So then don't let nobody tell you that you are not good enough. Don't let nobody tell you that, you know, you have been defeated, that your time has passed. Because for God, you are special. For God, you are beautiful. For God, you are his creation. From the very moment that you were in the mother's womb, he said, I know you. I see you. I know everything about you. I count your tears. Everything is in my book. I love you. I've given you my son because you are worthy of all of that. So what is your gratitude? Let's always, 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 always remember that even if today we don't have that big victory with fireworks and everything, there's always a reason to give thanks to God. To come back to the altar and tell him, you know what? Yes, I know in the place that I want to be, but I know that as long as I hold on to you, Lord, I'm secure. I'm safe. You watch over me. You take care of me. King David put it this way. Psalm 103, 2 and 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgive all iniquity, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with a steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, if we know the life of David, we know everything that he went through, the bad things and the good things. The important thing is, like, no matter what, he always came back to the Lord. And he always put it there to the Lord, I'm just a man. But search my heart. And this is this moment like you have that fight, you know, like the flesh and the spirit fighting together. I believe in that moment he say, Lord, you see what is inside. And he having this conversation with his soul, his emotions. And he telling, you know, there's going to be times I don't want to do it, but bless the Lord of my soul. Bless the Lord of my soul. Don't forget what he have done for you. Don't forget what he have done for us. Bless the Lord of my soul. Who forgives me, who heals me, who redeems my life, who crowns me. There is crowns waiting for you in heaven. There is crowns waiting for you because you are fighting the good fight of God today. But guess what? This is just another page in our chapter. We are being called to teach and demonstrate God's love and power by reaching the lost, the brokenhearted. Those Samaritans, spiritual Samaritans out there, those that are suffering from like spiritual leprosy, that feel that they're not good enough, that they feel like, you know, I try everything. I try medicines, I try alcohol, I try, you know, all kind of stuff. I step on the side of the bridge and decide to take my own life. But guess what? God said, you know what? You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. And he's calling upon those of you guys watching online. I know there is somebody tonight that's going to be strained by this word. He's a good God. So as I finish this word, I want us to go to Psalm 95, verse 2. As you have it, can you say amen? Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Can we read that together again? Let's do our best, okay? I know it's going to be difficult. So, 1, 2, and 3. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Can you make a joyful noise tonight in the house? Lord, you are good. You are amazing, Father, and we give you all praise and all glory in this place. Thank you, Lord, for you have delivered us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for you have saved us, Lord. Father, tonight in this place, we give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the gratitude. And the mighty name of Jesus, and the people say, amen. God bless you. May this word encourage you tonight. Have a great night, and we see you tomorrow morning. If you need any prayer, our leaders and pastors will be here ready to assist you. Amen. Have a blessed night.